He was the adult. He knew better. As my voice got louder and I defended Tallulah, not only to Pam, but the others listening, I accepted that what I was saying was true. I didn't forgive her, because it had been me she'd hurt. But I didn't think it made her a slut. I thought it made her naive and stupid. Pam threw her hands up dramatically.
Whatever. Take up for her. She caused us to lose a great teacher and football coach. Not that you care about football anymore.
She snarled the last bit, wanting to hurt me, embarrass me. It didn't work.
No one wants to hear your shit, Pam. Go on,
Asa said, stepping up beside me.
Besides, Coach D wasn't that great of a coach. The team will be fine without him. And as for literature, I was failing his class. He sucked as a teacher.
Asa struggled to pay attention in most classes. He thought all teachers sucked. But I was grateful for his stepping in, not because I couldn't handle Pam, but because I was tired of being the center of attention. Pam swung her long hair over her shoulder and stalked away. She was done arguing. Thank God.
You're welcome, Asa said, grinning.
Thanks, I gotta go.
Where are you going? Second period is the other way.
Janitor's closet. I need to clean her locker. I didn't say whose. I didn't have to. There was only one locker that needed cleaning in this school.
I'll go with you.
It's okay, Riker's getting us excuses and helping me. Asa nodded.
Okay, if you don't need me, I'll see you after class.
We got it, but thanks. I began walking again when Asa called out.
For the record, I think we don't know the real story. I don't think she did it.
If I hadn't witnessed the kiss myself, I probably wouldn't have believed it either. I didn't respond because I had nothing to say. My secret would remain just that. Especially now.
Chapter 43. If only I could just be invisible again. Tallulah. All weekend, no one called. You can know you don't have friends, but it's never more obvious than when something bad happens. There's no one to call you. No one to stop by to check on you. No one to believe you. I already knew I was friendless. I should have grown used to it, but the past few weeks I hadn't felt lonely. I'd had Nash. He was my friend. He made me feel a part of something, like I fit in, like this world cared if I was alive or dead. Like I was important, too. That had been fleeting. Gone too soon. I wished for the millionth time I hadn't known what it felt like. Love, friendship, acceptance. Before I'd been clueless, it had been easier then. My books had been enough. Nash had changed it all for me. I would have to learn to make it through alone again, every day at school with no one speaking to me. They'd whisper and point again. Didn't matter what size I was. Being thin didn't save me from being an outcast. When I had walked all summer and used my drive for revenge to keep me going, I had honestly believed that being thin would solve all my problems. How stupid was that? I hadn't fit in then, and I didn't now. I never would. I wish I hadn't even tried. If I had stayed overweight, then Mr. Dace would have never noticed me. He'd never have kissed me. The school wouldn't hate me. Sitting in my car, I watched as others began to arrive at school. They were all excited to be here. They had groups, friends waiting on them. And they'd all see me and bling. I'd be the outcast. I imagined that was worse than being invisible. If only I could just be invisible again. I waited, watched, and gave myself pep talks that did little good. I hadn't heard anything all weekend about what Mr. Dace was going to do. If he was going to deny it and take this to court to clear his name, which I found could be a possibility. I knew he wouldn't be here, though. My mother had made sure I wasn't going to face him again at school. I'd almost turned around and gone back inside the house to beg her to let me homeschool, but I knew she would let me. She would want to protect me. She wouldn't make me face this. I had to face it. I had to stand up for myself. If I didn't come back, they would all think I was guilty, that I had been a willing participant. Stepping out of the car, I felt my hands tremble. I fisted them tightly at my sides. I wasn't going to be that weak. I could do this. I had done nothing wrong. I straightened my shoulders, took my backpack and put it over my shoulder, then headed for the doors. I didn't make eye contact with those still lingering outside. I kept walking, held my head high. I had nothing to be ashamed of. They were looking. I could feel them. It was like time stood still, and they all turned their attention to me. My face heated, my heart raced. I kept moving forward. They couldn't hurt me.
"Slut!"
someone yelled out. I had prepared myself for that. It was so far from the truth, it was almost funny. Almost. I didn't turn to see which girl had thought it was acceptable to yell "slut" at someone else. I didn't care. I continued to remind myself that I knew the truth. That was all that mattered. I knew. With a jerk of the door, I opened it and went inside. More people, more eyes, more conversations paused as they spotted me. I didn't stop. I kept moving.
"No one wants you here, slut,"
one said as I passed by. "Go home, you whore," another called out.
"Liar,"
someone else called out. I did the only thing I could. I ignored it all. Until a guy I didn't know, who had to be younger than me, stepped in my path and grinned.
"I'll fuck you on a desk if you want. Or are you just into older men?"
Laughter erupted around him. I went to move around him and he shifted to block me once more. I glared up at him this time.
"Get out of my way," I said firmly.
"Oh, don't be like that, baby. I just want a taste of what had Coach D pulling down his pants in the classroom."
I should have expected this. Rumors to grow into ridiculous lies. I went to move around him again. Once more, he made sure I couldn't.
"You don't want her STDs," a female voice called out.
I'd heard that voice before, but I didn't look to see who it was. The guy smirked.
"She doesn't seem that easy to me. I think she only gives it to the older guys." "That's enough, dipshit,"
Nash said angrily, and I turned my head this time to see him making his way through the crowd toward me. The guy's demeanor changed.
"Sorry, man, just having some fun with the school teacher banger."
Nash was in his face then. He shoved him back hard with his good arm.
"Fuck off,"
he ordered. The kid swallowed hard and his Adam's apple bobbed, then he turned around and hurried down the hall. Nash looked around.
"Jesus, move on, get a life," he yelled.
People began to move away. It was like magic. They all turned and began talking again. I was no longer the entertainment. All because of Nash. He had come to my rescue. He cared.
"Thank you,"
I said, in shock that of all people it had been Nash to stand up for me. He didn't look at me right away. His back was still to me, his shoulders tense. When he did finally move, my heart leaped. He was going to talk to me. His eyes were void of emotion. He didn't smile or seem concerned. Nothing. He didn't give me long to figure out what that meant.
"This means nothing. Don't read into it. I'm a nice guy. I don't allow bullying when I see it. That's all this was."
His words still lingered, crushing my soul and my hopes as he walked away. I didn't watch him go. It took all my attention to keep from falling apart. For a moment, I had let my guard down, and that easily I was broken yet again. When I could manage to move one foot in front of the other, I walked to my locker. I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't let myself believe in love, or even in something as simple as a friend. Those things weren't mine to have. Getting the things I would need from my locker was mindless. I didn't have to think to do it. I needed a distraction. Something to ease Nash's words as they played over and over in my head.
"Whore,"
Pam hissed as she walked up to my locker.
"I saw you. You're a whore. You deserve all of this."
She didn't stick around to continue. She'd said what she needed, so she hurried away. Pam was evil, yet she had friends. People who she could talk to. She was never alone. She'd never been the outcast. Why she thrived on seeing me alone and hated, I didn't know. I'd done nothing to her. I'd done nothing to anyone. Until a few weeks ago, most of them hadn't realized I existed, yet we'd gone to school together our entire lives. I didn't understand that kind of cruelty. I never wished this on anyone. Not even Pam.
Chapter 44. I Could Be a Lion Again. Nash. I'd worked out with the team today. After standing on the side of the field Friday night and watching the freshman throw a winning touchdown, I had decided I could be a part of this. I'd helped with that. His confidence had been built, and although he wouldn't be first string until his junior year, he was ready when Hunter wasn't. I watched them practice for an hour. Standing there, smelling the grass and feeling the heat from the sun felt good. It was like going home. This was and would always be a part of me. I'd grown up loving this game. I always would, even if my years of playing it were over. That didn't mean I was losing the field altogether.
"I've got physical therapy," I called out to Riker. "I gotta go."
He nodded, and the smile on his face from just having me down here made me feel a part of something again.
"Nash, wait,"
Coach Rich called out. I paused and waited as he jogged over to me. He seemed happy to see me, at least I thought he was, but I was suddenly worried he was about to tell me not to come to practice, because I wasn't on his team anymore. Normally, he didn't let others watch, much less stand on the field.
"What you did with Kip was amazing. I'd already prepared myself for a disaster Friday night, but Riker and Kip said you came and helped him."
I shrugged. He just needed a confidence boost. I watched his games from last year. He's good. A more natural talent than Hunter, in my opinion. Coach grinned.
"I saw that Friday night. It got me thinking. This,"
he sighed and ran a hand through his hair.
"This shit with Dace. He's gone. He won't be coming back. Even if she did pursue him, he caved. He's gone. And they're not going to be able to replace a defense coordinator / literature teacher with one paycheck overnight. I need help. I can handle things, but it would be easier and more successful if I had someone who the guys had a relationship with watching them and making suggestions. I'd like you to step in and be a part of the team again. It's not a paid job, of course. They can't hire a kid, but I could use you. This team could."
He was asking me to coach? Me? I stood there, staring at him in shock. When he'd started talking about Dace, I'd gotten nauseated and wanted to get away. Forget that shit. But he'd blindsided me. With a chance to be down here, I could be a lion again. "Seriously?" I asked, because if this was a joke, I needed to know now. He nodded.
"Completely."
"Yes," was all that I could get to come out of my mouth. I was speechless otherwise. He slapped me on the back.
"Welcome back, son."
I nodded. I couldn't even say thank you. My eyes locked on Riker, who was watching us. He saluted me with a smile that said he knew what had just happened.
"Thanks, Coach Rich," I finally said.
"Don't thank me, just win us some games."
Those words didn't scare me. My dad had been telling me that all my life. I worked good under pressure. Coach Rich walked back to the others, and I headed for the parking lot. I'd have to adjust my physical therapy schedule, because my afternoons were about to be busy once again. Smiling, I was lost in the first trace of happiness I'd felt since the accident. My smile slowly weakened as I thought of Hagen. Then, as if fate liked to kick me in the ass, I saw Tallulah. She was walking to her car, her arms full of books and her backpack full. She looked miserable. I knew the entire school had talked about her today, made jokes at her expense, blamed her for Dace being gone. But I couldn't fight all her battles. I couldn't shut them all up. She'd asked for this. I had nothing to do with it. I'd been hurt in the crossfire. But if I caught anyone else in her face taunting her, I'd step in. I already knew that without having to think about it. Right now, I wanted to go lighten her load and help her with her books, which fucking sucked ass because I shouldn't want to be near her. I shouldn't care what others said. She had kissed a teacher. The fact he was married made it worse, but I had decided she hadn't known that. She'd never have done it if she'd known. He'd been after her since the first day of school. I'd seen it. She hadn't flirted with him. She hadn't tried to get his attention. What she had done was return his attraction and respond to his advances. I stood there watching as she dropped a few books and sighed wearily, then bent down to put the other books on the ground. She began to stack them up again. The pile was too tall for her to carry. She stood up and looked down at it, then at her car. Why was she carrying so many books home anyway? No one had that much homework. I fought back, going to help her. I didn't need to be near her. Being so close, I could smell her, seeing her eyes so full of hope for forgiveness today, had about been my undoing. I didn't want to stay away from her. Even with all she had done, I missed her. She bent down and picked up half the stack, then carried it to her car. I was so focused on her, I didn't notice Brett pick up the other books she'd left behind. He was coming up behind her when I noticed him. She turned and jumped, startled to see him. Then she smiled. That sweet smile that did things to me. They talked. She tried to take the books, but he put them in her car for her. Then they talked some more. I needed to get in my fucking Escalade and go to physical therapy. But then they'd see me. She'd see me. She'd see me seeing them. Shit, that was too damn convoluted. I was making too much out of this. We were over, right? I was done. Then I had to stop acting like I had to hide from her. I picked my duffel up and headed to my Escalade. I knew she saw me when the hairs on my arms stood up and I got a tingle down my spine. My body even reacted to her when I wasn't looking. It was like it knew she was there, and it went on high alert. Damn traitor. I cracked and shifted my gaze in her direction. She was watching me. I held her gaze for a moment. It was wrong. I shouldn't. If I was done and this was over, I had to act like it, not lock gazes with her when she's talking to another guy. That said shit. Shit I wasn't going to follow through with. Because I didn't trust her. I never would again. It was Tallulah who broke the stare. She shifted her attention back to Brett. Her smile was tighter now, less real, less soft, more forced. But he wouldn't know that. He didn't know her like I did. I climbed in my Escalade, telling myself this was for the best. It was the only way to protect my head and heart. But damn if it didn't hurt like hell.
Chapter 45. Like a wolf about to protect its young. Tallulah. After lunch and the constant verbal lashing I was taking from the rest of the student body, I went to the counselor to discuss the possibility of me homeschooling for the rest of the semester. I knew there was a program where you could homeschool but remain on the same curriculum as the school that was run by the county. I needed all the information on it before I took it to my mother. She'd have questions. I was a distraction in class. Twice before lunch, teachers had been forced to stop class and talk to everyone about not spreading rumors. It was all because they were whispering about me, throwing paper at the back of my head, and laughing at each other's jokes centered on me. I couldn't learn in that environment, and neither could anyone else. The teacher's frustration was obvious. I should have known I couldn't come back here. Thinking I could deal with this and it would be okay was crazy. The counselor called my mother and we discussed it in her office over speakerphone. When it was over, I was sent to each teacher's class to get all the work I needed for the next 2 weeks so I wouldn't get behind while we were switching me over to the virtual school system. It had been successful in other schools in the county, but no one at Lawton had tried it yet. When school ended, I then had to meet the counselor in the library to get the paperwork and instructions for my mom to get me registered. We went over how to handle it if I chose to return. It was a lot of information, but it kept my mind off the reason I was doing this. As I was leaving, Mrs. Millie said she hoped in time I'd come back. She would miss my smiling face in the hallway. That was the first time I teared up. Until she said that, I had assumed my absence would go unnoticed, or simply that no one would care. Hearing her say it, even if she was the counselor, made me feel wanted. Just a little. I sat outside my house now, my car full of books that Brett had helped me load after I dropped them 3 times in my attempt to carry them. Brett had also told me he would miss me. He hoped I would come back. Then he'd asked for my phone number and if he could text me or even call sometime. I had said yes, and at that moment Nash had locked eyes with me. He wouldn't miss me. My absence would be a relief to him. This morning I had thought no one cared, but now I knew 2 people did. Yes, I was counting Mrs. Millie. When you're as limited on friends as I was, you counted it all. Even the adults paid to care. Being the biggest slut at Lawton High and never having had sex was ironic. I thought about that a lot today, too. At first, it had seemed unfair, but I had moved past that. Life wasn't fair. Hagen's family would agree with me. This was bad, but it could be worse. My mama had always reminded me that when I had a bad day, there was someone out there who would trade places with me. Never to get down, but be thankful for what I did have. I was trying to do that, but it was hard, especially when your car was loaded down with books you wouldn't normally need yet, but they'd be a part of this semester's reading. Then the textbooks that couldn't be replaced online, I had to bring those, too. The front door opened and Mama came walking out. She had been watching for me, and I hadn't gotten out of my car fast enough for her. The smile on her face wasn't real. She was worried about me and trying to cheer me up. I was betting there was chocolate pound cake and ice cream waiting on me inside. That was her cure-all. I opened my car door and got out of the car. "I'm coming," I assured her. "I thought you might need help carrying things," she said, her voice light with false jolliness. "Mama, today was bad. You already know this. Acting happy won't cheer me up. This sucks, all of it. I will get over it, though, so stop forcing your smile. It looks painful." Her smile dropped, and she wrung her hands in front of her. "Oh, honey, I've been worried sick all day." I didn't sugarcoat it. She knew the truth. She'd talked to the counselor. "They liked Mr. Dace. They don't want to think he did anything wrong, so it has to be my fault. I can't change their minds. I can't go to school with them. They don't want me there, and I no longer want to be there." Her eyes filled with tears. "I thought this year would be your best. You'd go to prom and go on dates. You'd have friends and go to football games. You would love going to school every morning, all the things you missed, and that bastard took that from you." She looked so distraught, I wanted to reassure her, but what could I say? Promise that I'd get to do those things? It was my senior year. That was it. I wouldn't do any of it. I wouldn't even go to school. "Let's go inside and eat the pound cake and ice cream I know is in there," I suggested. She nodded and sniffled. "Okay. I made fudge topping, too, for the ice cream," she told me. I'd have to walk extra miles tomorrow, but then I would have more time. Working from home would make things go quicker. I'd have more time for my walks and for reading. Tonight, I'd enjoy the sugar and feel bad for myself. Tomorrow, I'd get over it, move on, figure out my new schedule. We started to walk inside the house when an older model silver BMW that needed to be washed badly pulled into the driveway. Both of us turned to look at who it was. We didn't get visitors often. The blonde hair was the first thing I saw. She had a lot of it, and she was tall, striking even. I'd never seen her in my life. "Can I help you?" My mother asked, smiling in her friendly way. Yes. She looked from my mother to me. I'm here to speak with you and your daughter. She walked toward us and held out her hand. I'm Charlotte Dace. And just like that, my sweet mama's smile fell and a look of ferocity came over her face, much like a wolf about to protect its young. I almost expected her to snarl and show her teeth next. Then you should have had your lawyer contact ours, Mother told her in a firm voice that meant business. She also took that moment to step in front of me as if she needed to protect me from Charlotte Dace. Charlotte didn't seem to get upset or prepare to attack her. She remained calm. I can understand your reaction. If she were my daughter, I'd feel the same way. However, we don't need a lawyer. There is no point in it. I had been prepared to stand beside my husband and defend him. I called a lawyer and set up an appointment. I was determined he'd been seduced by a Lolita. But he didn't let me go much further. He admitted it all. He said she had fought off his advances both times. She was naive and young, innocent, and had no idea how to deal with attention from a grown man. That attracted him more. And when I wanted to believe this was a one-time instance, he admitted to two other underage girls he'd had affairs with. Girls who had been willing. And each time he said he loved them. She stopped then. I stood silently. I knew this already. Well, I knew about one other girl. The one Officer Mike had mentioned. Would you like to come inside? Mom asked, her ferocious demeanor now extinguished. Charlotte nodded. Yes, please. I'd like to ask Tallulah a few things, if that's okay with you. I need closure on this. I'm filing for divorce, but I have a long road ahead of me. I intend to fight for full custody of our daughter. I don't blame you, Mom replied. Then she looked at me. Are you okay with talking to her? I was. Yes, I told her. Thank you, Charlotte said. I know this hasn't been easy for you. I don't want to upset you any more than you've already been. I'd just like to ask you a few things to see how much of the truth he's given me. I could understand that. Okay. We went inside, and the smell of my mother's pound cake filled the air. It was the first comfort I'd felt all day. It meant I was home. The insecurity that had settled over me when Charlotte Dace introduced herself was gone. Please have a seat, Mother said, motioning toward the sofa. Can I get you a coffee, some pound cake? Charlotte shook her head. No, thank you. I won't take much of your time. I appreciate this. Mom sat down beside me on the love seat. Her hand rested on my knee. It was her show of support. Charlotte shifted in her seat and crossed her legs. When did he tell you he loved you? A little over a week ago. He kissed me and I ran out of the room and into the nearest restroom. He followed me inside, told me there. She nodded. Did he tell you he was married? I shook my head. No, I had no idea. But then it wouldn't have mattered because I didn't want his attention. Do you think he's done this with any other girls at the school? I thought for a moment, then shook my head. No. I didn't pay attention to him unless I was in his class. I never once thought of him as more than a teacher. She looked up at the photo of me from 2 years ago that sat on the mantel. You've lost weight, she said. Yes. She moved her gaze back to me. When? I mean, if you don't mind me asking. This summer, I told her. She sighed. He said you were different from the others. You didn't flirt and had no idea how beautiful you were. He said you were smart and mature for your age. I see now why you're so different. She didn't mean it in a bad way. She was just speaking her thoughts. She stood up. I believe my husband is unstable. Mentally, he has some sickness. It's the young girls. He is drawn to them. If he contacts you, I'd call the police. I don't know him. I realize I'm living with a man that I don't know at all, and I'm terrified. My mother stood up, too. I'm sorry for you and your daughter, she said. Charlotte nodded. I'm sorry for the harm he's done here, too. Mom walked Charlotte to the door and I watched them go, relieved there would be no court, that I wouldn't have to defend myself, but worried about the little girl who wouldn't have a father. I'd never had one, but she'd known what it felt like to have a dad, and she was going to lose that. I imagined that would be harder.
Chapter 46. That girl ain't got a selfish, mean bone in her body. Nash. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking for her, because I was. I had been since I walked out of first period. Her car hadn't been in her parking spot when I got here this morning, and I had been a little late. Tallulah was never late. It was normal for me to wonder where she was. I was just curious. Fuck that. I was worried. She'd had a hard day yesterday. I hadn't talked to her, but I had heard enough to know things had been hell for her. Now she was nowhere, and I was ready to leave school and go check on her. But that wasn't my place. Instead of leaving, I began scanning the crowd in the hallway for Brett. He should know. He'd been up her ass since things had ended with us. And after what I saw yesterday, he didn't give a shit about the day's stuff. It hadn't affected him like it affected me, though. She wasn't dating him and messing around with Dace at the same time. I looked for him. It wasn't until I'd thought of every scenario my imagination could come up with through second and third period that I found Brett at his locker on my way to lunch. I didn't know the guy well. I knew of him. He'd been to a couple field parties, but we weren't what you considered friends, merely acquaintances. "Hey," I said, stopping beside his locker before I could talk myself out of it. If I didn't find out, it was going to drive me fucking nuts. He turned, and his body instantly tensed when he saw me. "Nash." He knew my name. That was good. "Yeah, I saw you talking to Tallulah yesterday. Do you know where she is today?" He studied me a moment, the uncertainty on his face. For a moment, I thought he may tell me to go fuck myself. But finally, he nodded. "Yeah, I know." Nothing more. He didn't elaborate, give me any more information. He was going to make me ask for it. Fine, I'd ask. "Then where is she?" The annoyance in my tone was obvious. He lifted a shoulder, then closed his locker door. "If you don't know, then she must not have wanted you to. Besides, she said y'all were done. You ended it." I had ended it, but she'd kissed the motherfucking teacher. I had never liked tennis. I really didn't like it at this moment. I had my reasons. "Now, where is she?" I demanded this time, instead of asking. He did that stupid, quiet stare thing again. My patience was thinning. "And I guess your reason was the Mr. Day stuff?" He started to walk away from me then. Just like that, he thought he could just walk off. He acted like my being upset that she was kissing a teacher was stupid, like I should overlook it. "I guess you'd forgive her then," I blurted out. "Overlook the fact she was using you? She was having an affair with a teacher the whole time?" Brett stopped. He turned back to me. "If you believe what you're saying, then you do not deserve her. The girl I've spent less than 10 hours talking to, she'd never do what she's being accused of." I wanted to tell him that I had seen it. I knew the fucking truth before anyone else. But I didn't. That would make this harder on her. I wasn't going to hurt her any more than she was already hurt. She'd brought it on herself, but that didn't mean I would make it worse. He walked off then, and I let him. He wasn't going to give me answers. He was the one kid in the school who believed her. Did she feel guilty about that? Or was she trying to manipulate him? Even as I thought it, I knew it didn't fit. Tallulah wasn't like that. This whole situation didn't make sense. The girl I knew, the girl Brett thought he knew, she didn't do this.
Homeschool. Riker said that one word as he walked up beside me. She couldn't take it yesterday. She opted out. She's homeschooling. My stomach dropped. Tallulah wasn't here. She was at home. She was going to stay at home, away from it all, safe, because they'd been too hard on her. She'd taken too much. They'd finally given her more than she could take. I stood there in the hallway, oblivious to the people walking by and what they were saying. All I could think was I'd never see her again. She'd stay tucked away. Her smile wouldn't light up the hallway. Her laugh was gone. Was that what she deserved? Had her kissing a teacher really been that bad? Why did they hate her so damn much for it? I had a reason, but no one else did. Yet they'd cracked her. Where years of making fat jokes and laughing at her hadn't sent her home, this had. Could there be another explanation? I didn't see how there could. I'd seen them kiss. Pam had seen them kiss. Dace was fired. What other explanation was there? How was she innocent? I wanted her to be. God, I wanted her to be. But she couldn't be. Could she? Was there a scenario I was missing? It's for the best, Riker said as his hand rested on my shoulder. They were never going to let it go. She'd have dealt with it the rest of the year. Pam and her bunch didn't like Tallulah walking into school looking better than they ever had. She took attention off them. They were jealous. Pam has this ammunition and she will not let it die. It's better for Tallulah to homeschool. She'd never given up before. They'd never pushed her to run. Tallulah doesn't run. Riker shrugged. This was different. She was being accused of sleeping with a teacher, one who was married. Some think she's lying on him. Some think she seduced him. But both sides blame her. That fucking annoyed me. He was the adult, I said angrily. Riker shrugged. Yeah, but they still blame her. It's not fair. It wasn't. They were all so damn biased. You wouldn't see her when she came to the hospital. Her face was streaked with tears. She couldn't sit down and she wouldn't talk to anyone. She kept wringing her hands and her eyes were red-rimmed. Out of all the people in the waiting room, no one looked as scared as Tallulah. She wasn't gossiping with the others about what caused the wreck or whispering about how Hagen's body looked or how they had to cut him from the car. She was quiet. Her eyes on the door, waiting on any word about you. And when I sent her home, all she said was that she loved you. Because of what I saw, I can tell you I don't think she did shit with Dace. I don't know why you're pissed at her, but that girl ain't got a selfish, mean bone in her body. He was my cousin. He'd never tell a soul. He wouldn't hurt her with the truth. I waited until the bell rang and the hallway was clear. Then I turned to him. That day, the day of the accident, I saw them, Tallulah and Dace. Hagen was with me. It's why I smoked the fucking weed. I was hurting. Heartbroken. She kissed him then. Riker listened. He didn't respond right away. I knew he was thinking it over. Just like I knew he'd never share this with anyone. Finally, he looked at me. I didn't see what you did. I wasn't there. But I'm gonna ask you one thing. Are you sure you saw it all? Did you stay and watch what happened after? Did she appear to be enjoying it? Did she want it? I opened my mouth to say yes and stopped because I didn't know. I hadn't seen anything after the kiss. I'd been fucking destroyed. I'd left. I left. Riker raised both eyebrows. Then just maybe you should find out what happened next. That is, if you're still thinking about her.
if the idea of her being run out of the school bothers you. If not, then let it go. Move on. There are a lot of Blakeleys out there to choose from. He didn't stand there and wait for my answer. He left. He didn't need my response. He expected me to make the right decision. For the first time since I'd seen the kiss, I began to doubt it. With that came a sickening feeling in my gut.
Chapter 47. The best is yet to come for you, sweetheart. Tallulah. It was Wednesday when Brett texted me the first time. I'd been in my house since I got home Monday, figuring out the virtual school process. It had kept me busy, and I had only thought about it all when I lay down at night, when my room was quiet and I was alone. I cried then, quietly, so my mother wouldn't hear. I didn't want her worrying any more than she already did. She wanted a normal high school experience for me. I wasn't going to have that. After my brief dip into it, I decided I didn't want it. Graduation and college were my future. They'd be different. I'd go somewhere far away from this place. Brett's text said, "Dinner Friday night and a movie?" I read it 3 times before thinking it over. This was a date. I'd tried that already. It hadn't ended well. I didn't want to get hurt again. But then what were the chances of that? Brett was nice, but he wasn't Nash. I didn't feel giddy when he was near me. He didn't make my heart race, and I had no thoughts of him unless I was speaking to him. It wasn't possible to get hurt by him. He didn't have a piece of me. I didn't respond, though. I was too busy holding the phone, thinking it through. Then he sent another text as I stared down at it. "They made an announcement today. Haswell said that Dace admitted to making advances to you, that you did nothing wrong and were taken advantage of. Those talking about you and accusing you will stop. If it is brought to his attention, the student doing so will be suspended." He went on to talk about the no-bullying code. Once he was done, all the talk was about how they didn't think you were like that anyway. I read the text several times. I even wondered if I had read it incorrectly or if this was a dream. Another text lit up my screen. It was Nash. "Are you home? We need to talk." That text was like a jab directly in my chest. Nash was texting me. He'd heard the announcement and was now wanting to talk. He'd hurt me, pushed me away for no reason. Then when I needed him the most, he abandoned me, left me alone to face it all by myself. I replied to Nash's text, "No thanks." Then I turned my phone off. I didn't want to read anymore. I wasn't ready to date Brett either. That one text from Nash had ripped me open again, made me bleed. I curled into a ball and focused on long, deep breaths. That lasted all of 5 seconds, and then the tears came. Crying didn't make it go away. It didn't fix the past, but it was all I could do. A knock on my bedroom door right before my mother opened it wasn't enough of a warning to dry my tears and clean up my face. Instead, she found me there, falling apart. I didn't want her to worry. I didn't want her to know how much I was hurting, but she'd caught me. I turned over to look at her, and the tears came harder. My body shook with each sob, and I couldn't make it stop if I'd wanted to. My mother's arms were around me immediately as she lay down beside me on the bed. She didn't ask me why I was crying or try to make me stop. She just held me tightly in her arms while I got it all out. The pain I'd been hiding. I'd wanted to fit in and be a part of something, to have friends, to have Nash, but now all that seemed stupid to me. It hadn't brought me anything but heartache. I'd been fine the way I was before. I'm not sure how long I cried or how long we lay there after the sobs slowed to small sniffles, but when I finally calmed down, it did feel better. My chest was lighter. The pain wasn't gone, but crying had released something. I don't know. Maybe I'd been trying to be tough for so long, I just needed to be weak for once, let it go, not put so much pressure on myself. My mom kissed my forehead. "This has been awful, but it will soon pass. I promise it isn't forever. High school isn't the end, it's just a stepping stone. You've learned a lot about life these past few years. College will be easier on you because you didn't live a fantasy in high school. The best is yet to come for you, sweetheart. I know she believed everything she said. I wanted to believe her, but I was scared to believe in anything now. It was my senior year, and I was finishing it with homeschool. I would get to graduate like the others, but they'd all go to parties and on trips together. They'd have memories to share, and they'd make promises to be friends forever. All the stuff I'd read in books and seen in movies. But me? No one would have a memory with me. I wouldn't have a party or be invited to one. I'd simply walk, get my diploma, and this would be over. I got a call from Officer Mike. He wants to know if we want to press charges. He said that Mr. Days confessed to it all, which we already knew. I don't want to make this decision for you. I want it to be yours. I will stand behind whatever you want to do. I didn't much care about what happened to Mr. Days, but I did care about his daughter. She'd lost a father in this. Her family would be broken now. Her father would be labeled something she wouldn't understand. She was just a baby. It seemed so unfair. No, it's over. Let it go. Mom nodded. I figured you'd say that, but I am going to file a restraining order for your protection. If his wife thinks he could try to come see you, then I think it is wise. I shrugged. I didn't think I'd see Mr. Dace again, but if it made her feel better, then that was okay with me. Do you think his daughter will be okay? I mean, she had a dad, and now she's losing him. I think it would be easier to have never had one at all. My mom squeezed me tightly. I don't think she had a very good father. He wasn't thinking about her when he made the decisions he did. In her case, it is better to have him out of her life now rather than later. He needs help. I hoped she was right. Are they going to leave town, Charlotte and her daughter? I don't know. She didn't say, Mom replied. I think starting a new life away from the memories of her father would be easier. Mom nodded. You're probably right. We lay there silently, both staring at the ceiling for several minutes. My thoughts were on Mr. Dace's little girl and wife. Where would they go, and how their life would be now? I realized that, yes, my world had been changed with his choices, but theirs had been destroyed. They'd have to build again. It was like Mama always told me. Somewhere, someone else is having a worse day than you. Be thankful for what you have. I had a mother who loved me. A home with oddly painted ceilings that always smelled like a bakery. I was healthy. I would go to college next year. My life wasn't so bad. I would be okay.
Chapter 48. I didn't want her to be my past. Nash. Tonight would be my first night on the field coaching. I'd been to every practice this week. I'd worked out with the team. This all should have made me feel good. Hell, I should have been excited, ready for this. But there was Tallulah, and I couldn't think about anything else. She wasn't responding to my texts. After her first no thanks, she'd been silent. I checked my phone again, hoping my last text I had finally sent this morning would get a response. So far, nothing. Telling her in a text message that I'd seen her kiss Dace the day of the accident wasn't what I wanted to do, but when I called her phone, it went directly to voicemail. She wasn't talking to me. She'd cut herself off completely. Brett had been talking to Hannah in the hallway earlier this morning, which made me think she'd stopped talking to him, too. I didn't want to think of Tallulah alone, closed off from life. She had so much to give. She was fun and kind. She was smart and she wanted to be social. She'd finally had her chance to get that this year, and so quickly it had been shut down. But that fucking kiss. I needed to hear her explanation of it. No matter what Dace had confessed to, I saw her kiss him. I was there. That didn't change. You good? Asa asked, stopping beside my locker. Yeah, why? I replied, taking out my notebook and closing the door.
Oh, I don't know. Because you were standing here staring blankly into your locker like you were a million miles away?
I was just thinking. He laughed.
Yeah, I gathered that much.
Glancing at the hallway full of people hurrying to their classes, I suddenly felt more out of place than ever. No amount of football made that better. It wasn't making me happy. One thing had made me happy since my accident. Tallulah. Since that fucking kiss, I'd been miserable. I didn't want to feel this way. I was tired of it. And I missed her. I missed her so damn much. She didn't want to talk to me. She didn't care about explaining the kiss I saw. She was shutting me out. Done. Which scared me, because I couldn't let her go. I love her, I said the words aloud, admitted them to myself and Asa. I had to tell someone, come clean, stop pretending she had hurt me and I was done, because no matter how badly she'd broken me, I still loved her. No shit, Asa replied, amused. I turned my head to look at him.
What?
He shrugged. You said you loved her. I said no shit. That's been obvious since the beginning. It's why I backed off. I liked her. She's smoking hot. But I didn't feel the way you obviously did. There was a look in your eyes that said it was more to you. She was more to you.
Really?
I asked, amazed that Asa had noticed all this, and it had taken me this long to admit it to myself.
Yeah, man, really. My question is, why did you turn on her?
Because I thought she'd lied to me. Asa nodded.
Had she?
I didn't know, not really. I'm not sure. Asa frowned.
You're not sure?
His tone sounded like I was an idiot.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
With a shake of his head, he nodded toward the door.
Then you should go find out. You're miserable. She left school. Why are you just letting it continue to fall apart? Soon you'll be past the point of no return, and she will be your past.
I didn't want her to be my past. That wasn't even acceptable. We had just begun. Dace had screwed with it. But I missed her. The nightmares that still haunted me at night. Hagen's lifeless face there in my dreams. I had no one to talk to about them. I didn't want to talk to anyone else, just her. She'd listen. She'd be there. She was who I wanted.
I gotta go, I told him and headed for the exit.
That's my boy,
he called out just before I shoved the door open and broke into a run, or the best I could do with my limp. The anxiety began to mount as the fear that I'd waited too long built. She might not be able to forgive me. The kiss I'd seen now seemed pointless compared to never seeing Tallulah again, never sitting with her and watching her smile, never holding her against me, never feeling her hand firmly in mine. Her parking spot remained empty, and I hated seeing that. I hadn't realized how I depended on seeing her car there every day until it was gone. I drove faster than I had in a while. I didn't speed because I wanted to make it there alive. That fear was never going to go away. When I arrived at her house, I pulled into the driveway behind her car. I didn't know just yet what I was going to say, or if I could even get her to open her door. But I had to try. If she didn't come to the door, I'd find another way. But I wasn't leaving here until we'd talked, until I'd seen her, until I told her I loved her. I rang the doorbell and waited. No answer. I knocked. Waited. Nothing. I tried the doorbell again. I pulled my phone out and called her, got her voicemail immediately. This went on for a good 5 minutes. Finally, I had to come up with another plan. She knew I was out here. She could see my Escalade from any window in her house. Stepping back, I looked up at her bedroom window and saw the curtain move a little.
She was watching. She was here. I tried the doorbell again. Then I stepped back farther, cupped my hands around my mouth, and shouted, "Please, Tallulah! Talk to me! I'm not leaving until you do!" No movement. I waited and looked at the door to see if she'd decided to come on down. But after plenty of time, nothing happened. I was going in. I tried the door and it was locked. So I started working my way around the house, trying each window. Each one was firmly shut and locked. What was wrong with these people? Did they never open their windows? It took 5 windows with no luck before I made it around to the back of her house. The back porch was painted like a blue sky with a rainbow across it. Smiling, I shook my head. Her mom was an interesting person. I went on to the porch and tried the door, not expecting it to open. When it did, I paused and slowly pushed it open. Glancing around, I saw I was in the kitchen. Chocolate chip cookies were on a plate beside the oven. A red cake was displayed on a stand in the middle of the table, and it smelled like heaven in here. I closed the door quietly behind me. There was a slight chance, okay, a good chance, that Tallulah would call the cops on me. I honestly didn't give a shit. I needed to talk to her. Maybe I could say all I needed before they showed up to cuff me and book me. I tried to walk as softly as I could. As soon as she knew I was in her house, my time would begin ticking. I was almost to the bottom of the stairs when she rounded the corner, then screamed as her eyes went wide. Her scream died quickly as she realized it was me standing in her house. She covered her mouth, her eyes wide as she stared at me as if I were insane. Maybe I was. I felt like it. I'd never been desperate enough to break into someone's house. "I need to say something. Please listen to me," I started. Tallulah had regained her composure and pointed to the front door.
"Get out!"
"Just let me..."
"Get out!"
"Tallulah, please, just..."
"I said to get out!"
"Did you get my last text?"
"Get out!"
"I sent it this morning."
"Get out!"
She made a move toward me now. Both her hands landed on my chest, and she shoved me backward.
"I said to get out of my house!"
I'd never seen her angry. Not like this. Her eyes wild with all kinds of emotions. The pain was there, though. She was hiding it the best she could, but I had looked into those eyes enough to know what I saw.
"Leave!"
She shoved me back again, this time harder.
"My house!"
I let her push me. I stumbled back with each shove to my chest. She needed this. Her eyes began to turn glassy. I couldn't take this anymore. I didn't give a fuck if she'd kissed the teacher. It was forgiven. I was over it. I would never be able to get over losing her.
"I love you,"
I said simply, staring into her eyes, hoping she could see past her pain and anger. She pushed me again, but this time a sob escaped her.
"No, you don't!"
I reached for her then, my hands gently wrapping around her arms. "Yes, I do. I love you. I miss you." She started to shove me again and dropped her hands back down, then began to cry, her shoulders shaking. My heart broke over and over again with each sound. I hated this. Moving in, I pulled her into my arms and held her as she cried. I had done this to her, or I'd at least been a part of it. She'd needed me, and I'd left her, turned against her like everyone else. "I don't deserve your forgiveness, but I'm begging you for it. I love you, Tallulah. I was hurt, blindsided, and then I saw my friend die. It messed with me. I should have talked to you about it, not shut you out." She sniffled and tilted her head back to look at me. What did I do that blindsided you? I'd texted her.